Welcome to our Holden Village podcast. For over 50 years now, Holden Village has traveled a rich history of faith that has transformed a copper mining town into a vibrant place of education, programming, and worship. Holden has sought to welcome all who seek contemplation and community in the remote wilderness of the beautiful Cascade Mountains. We continue to invite people of all ages to come alongside our rhythms, which inspire and equip travelers for a sustainable life of faith outside the village. And we continue to listen and reflect on our story and history and seek to discover our place in God's creative mission in our world. Our podcasts are a way of sharing our conversations with our teaching faculty around reformation, the reforming of our relationships with the earth, with each other, and with the divine. Let's tune in and join the conversation.
I'm Anne Marie Russell. I'm currently teaching English at Lake Stevens High School. So I teach some sections of University of Washington College and High School English and creative writing. And I was formerly the English professor at Trinity Lutheran College, which was LBI Seattle, located in Everett, Washington, before it closed 2 years ago.
And I'm Eric Samuelson. I'm a Lutheran pastor, and throughout my ministry, I've done a lot of vocational discernment work, and including 5 years at Trinity Lutheran College, where Anne Marie and I taught together. And I did taught a course called Vocation and Formation, which was with the freshmen around vocational discernment and spiritual practices. And we had a community, a cohort of facilitators, and Anne Marie was one of those, and we co-designed and led this course that's actually the basis for some of what we've been doing up at Holden this week.
Yeah, I think that Eric and I, this was such a neat experience for our college freshmen, and we kind of wanted to test the theory in a space like Holden. It's been really interesting kind of watching a different population of people engage in the material that we're teaching. So we've always taught this material to primarily students who were 18 or 19 years old. At the college where we taught, 55% of our students were students of color. Many of them were first-generation college students coming out of, you know, more kind of lower-income lifestyles. And so it's been interesting being at Holden with, I don't know, population.
Or 60s and
yeah,
70s.
Several decades ahead of that in really different places, but kind of I've just been really grateful for the way that people have engaged in our sessions and kind of taken a risk and tried on some of the spiritual practices so far that we've led them in and just been really honest and authentic in their reflection.
Yeah, it's been interesting. Since Trinity Lutheran College closed in 2006, I've been doing some of this work in congregations and trying to adapt the procedures and processes and practices at work. We found how to work it with that college population, translating it to a more intergenerational community and conversation. And I've been impressed in that work, and especially here this week in the elders in the room that carry this life wisdom, that they've done discernment, and some of them are really far along and are really in touch with their story, and some of them are just sort of discovering how to do that. And we had some of that at the college. I think it would have been really enriching to have some of these more experienced. One of the things that's been really interesting here and in the work as we've done it with congregations intergenerationally is the just the older folks that have had decades more experience than we have, and the students that we were used to working with, the way they've engaged in discernment and discovery over their lives and have kind of wrestled with and rewritten their stories and the gift that is into the space of other people who are maybe not quite to that place or are wrestling with their own vocation or sense of self or just where they are in the world.
It's interesting, I think, when you talk about spiritual practices, because when I first came to spiritual practices, I think I expected them to be like these grand things. And really, a lot of the work that we're having people do this week is to kind of slow down, teach them how to learn to listen and share, and there's a lot of stories that are being shared. So we have been working with a practice of holy listening and testimony, where two people would sort of pair up and there would be a prompt. One of our favorite prompts that we started the class with on Monday was tell about a time when someone took you or your gifts seriously. And people in the room paired up and told that story three different times with three different people. And it was really powerful to watch them get to share that story and see it evolve, or maybe decide they tried on one story and it didn't fit well, and so they tried on another, as a way to sort of start to figure out what their story is and who they are. And the power of also teaching, helping people learn the practice of listening well, and listening without commenting or judging or thinking. And then learning how to maybe ask a question that sort of opens the person who's sharing up is really, I don't know, just it seems to me in some ways sort of dumb and simple. Like, why don't we do this more? But we live in a culture where we don't listen to each other very well. And in my experience teaching teenagers, we don't let people tell their stories very much. So there's a lot of stories in there waiting to be told.
Practice is simple, but as we've taught it, it's really kind of a core Christian practice as we understand it. So it's the listening to another, and one of the great quotes is about listening another soul into a state of discovery and disclosure may be the greatest gift that one person offers to another. Douglas Steer wrote that. And it's a simple, the way it works is you have 2 minutes of silence around the prompt, like a story of a time when someone took you or your gift seriously. You got 2 minutes in silence to just ponder that internally. And then somebody goes first, and 2 minutes of silence while the other listens. And we invite them to listen to the other person's story as if they were listening to scripture, and sort of just expect something holy to happen in the midst of that, and without commentary or thinking about other things. And it sounds like, oh yeah, of course I can do that. But when you do it, that something happens. It's kind of hard to describe, but it really changes the space. And then they switch places, and the other person gets to tell their story. And when you practice it over time, and we noticed with the college students, it was super awkward at the beginning. But as time went on, as this kind of became a rhythm of their lives, all of a sudden these kids coming from all kinds of different backgrounds and different socioeconomic and really with different stories, all of a sudden they're finding these really cool points of connection with each other just because they stopped for 2 minutes to listen. And then as it's practiced over time in a community, it at least our experience was, it really spread out, and it just became kind of how we listen to each other more and more, and really made a difference in the communal life together.
Yeah, another thing that we're having folks in our sessions do this week is to do some writing, and then to kind of use that as a generative space to kind of to talk about things related to themselves. There, we did an exercise on cover stories, and so that we all kind of have this cover story that we have in front of us that we carry that maybe is not always a representation of our authentic self. And so we got to the point where we had everyone in the room like name those. So what is that cover story? And almost everybody around the room not only was willing to name that, but we found the theme running through of the cover story of having everything kind of together and complete and not needing anyone and looking like you were strong and could do everything on your own, which was really eye-opening for us and also I think for the people in the room.
Yeah, that sort of shared cover story, which is kind of part of the American experience of like we're self-reliant, we don't need people, and makes me think, I mean, that's part of our spiritual challenge right now, is that we're all so independent and don't need each other, don't need God, don't need help, when in fact, when you get down to it, we actually need each other more than we're willing to admit.
One thing that, I've been a teacher forever, so every time I teach, I'm changed too. I learn something. And one thing that really struck me, at one point, somebody in the room talked about how it's maybe really easy to kind of like villainize or demonize our cover stories as like, well, this is a terrible thing, we shouldn't be doing this. But there were a couple of people in the room who I think helped me understand that like, that our cover story is sort of part of us. It's how we have to operate in the world sometimes. And like, it's also the thing that kind of helps us grow into the person that we're meant to be. And it was interesting that the person who shared that was a kind of later in life person, you know, and I thought that's kind of wise, that maybe we're more pieces than we think we are. And not that we should just leave our cover stories there hanging and just pretend like because it can be really harmful. But I also think that this person was right, that sometimes it's that drive that you need to kind of get your more authentic self. So.
Well, like a reintegration of that. So right. Like you stop identifying with this fake self and you go, oh yeah, that's part of me, but
that's
it's not all of
me. Right.
And I can access that when I need to, but also there's more. And the act of listening and speaking, I mean, the other half of this we didn't really talk about is the act of testimony. And the way we describe it, it's got a lot of baggage, right? Testimony sounds like real churchy stuff, but kind of back to the simplicity of this, it's just speaking your truth out loud to other people. So it's just sort of claiming whatever is true, and it doesn't have to be amazing or profound or whatever. It's just like what's true for you right now. Mm-hmm. Speaking that out and then having somebody receive it as a gift, and just the power of that is pretty great. One of the oldest people in the room, as we were debriefing mm-hmm. the cover story piece, he said something like, I used to be really defined by my resume and all the things on it and all these accomplishments. And I says, I'm at a point in my life where I don't need my resume anymore. I'm just me. And yeah. I thought that was really powerful. Cool.
Yeah.
Just like, I needed that at that point, and now here I am at whatever age he was. And he's able to let that go and just be who he is. Well, our guiding quote this week is the sound of the genuine. So it's listening to what's at the deepest core of who you are. And in the vocation work, it's another. That's a Howard Thurman line. And another that we use is, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come alive and go do it. Because what the world needs is people who have come alive. And so part of this work is discovering your own story and your own passions, your own values, what it is that charges you up. And then what are you going to do with that out in the world? And how are you going to use that for the sake of others? And so having access to your own story. And the other piece with this is, and what are all the other stories that are coming at you, either from your parents or from culture, and how do you sort those out?
I think, especially as people are growing up and moving through jobs, we talk a lot about your profession, you know. Mm-hmm. And I think that the vocation is, kind of something else entirely. I mean, vocation often leads you to a profession, mm-hmm. but vocation is all about kind of what you're called to do and be, and then that leads you into professions that allow you to do that oftentimes. My vocation has always been, as I identified it sort of early on in life, to help people, to give them words to tell their stories and to write and express, right? So I did that as a professor at Trinity Lutheran College. I do that in a high school creative writing classroom. I do that leading a session like this. So it affirms for me that I have a certain set of gifts that do things well, but it also frees me up to not have to be you or Eric or other people, right? I just get to be myself, because those are the giftings that I have and the things I feel called to in the world. So I think having a chance at whatever stage in life to kind of discern what that is. And it's not like, well, this is maybe what I want to do. It's so tied into who you are and what gifts you have and what skills you have, what you're good at, right? All those things. And so vocational discernment, in my mind, is the process of identifying more closely the person I am and the gifts I have and the things that give me joy and the ways I can make a difference in the world. And then when I identify that, then it allows me to take that thing, whatever it is, into my profession, into my role as a parent or a friend or a community member or a villager.
Yeah, and for me, I mean, I learned some of this here at Holden. So that's, I mean, in some ways I feel like I'm bringing back something that I learned here from people here in various times. So it is that sort of listening and that deep sense of community. It's really hard to figure out what you're going to do with your life by yourself. Like, I feel like we need other people to mirror that back and to receive it and to process together. And that's where that cover story work I find important, because it's the cover story that's afraid of mistakes harm the cover story. Right. They don't harm the true self that's underneath, yeah. You know? And so you can sort of realize like, oh, this image that I have of myself or that I'm trying to sell to people or that I'm worried mm-hmm. isn't true, that's really dangerous.
Right.
But when you, I mean, the kind of paradoxical thing is when you can name what that is, like, you know, and we were talking about, you know, I'm strong, I don't need anybody, I'm independent, those sorts of things, that person can't make mistakes. Mm-hmm. But the real me underneath makes mistakes all the time. And mm-hmm. so once you can sort of say, like, I don't need to prove anything mm-hmm. around that false self, it can really be powerful. And you can fail your way into discovering something.
Thanks for joining us for another Holden Village podcast. Be sure to view the links in the description for more information, or visit our website to find out more about the village. We hope you will make a pilgrimage to Holden. Blessings and peace to you.